We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
I read in ProPublica that since 1989, what they call a 100-year storm, a storm that's only supposed to happen once in 100 years, that's happened 6 times. In Houston, are you saying that this isn't just a Houston issue, this is a climate change issue in terms of how we anticipate the magnitude of storms and flooding?
It's exactly the type of thing that the experts on climate have been predicting in the sense that our normal distribution of storms is changing and will be skewing to more severe events.
Rice University professor Jim Blackburn on the Rachel Maddow Show talking about climate connections to Hurricane Harvey. Good afternoon. I'm Tom Cran. Paul Huttner is here with this week's Climate Cast.
Hey, Tom.
And Paul, the disaster in Texas is still unfolding. What can we say, though, at this point about climate change and the former Hurricane Harvey?
Tom, there are really 3 main links that climate science finds between warmer oceans and stronger hurricanes. Harvey, just the latest storm to show explosive intensification over a superheated ocean. The best climate science says we may not be seeing more hurricanes because of climate change, but that storms like Harvey are stronger, wetter, and capable of delivering as much as 30% more rainfall. And in a 50-inch storm like Harvey, that's an extra 15 inches of rain. And now Houston has seen 3 separate 1 in 500-year floods in just the past 3 years. We caught up with a busy climate and hurricane expert, Bob Henson, from Weather Underground at the airport, and I asked him about the climate change connections and his meteorological takeaways from Hurricane Harvey.
Well, personally, I'm going to remember the extreme rainfall. It really just eclipsed anything we've ever seen from a tropical cyclone. And it wasn't just the amount of rain. It was the territory covered by extremely heavy rain. We've had tropical cyclones dump as much as 42 inches in one day before. In this case, it was more like 30, 40, 50 inches over a large area like the size of Connecticut or New Hampshire. So overall, a really impressive system.
Bob, in a situation like this and looking at the truth on the ground in Texas, I feel like I'm a human being first and a scientist second. So right now, we're mindful there's still a flood disaster in progress, a long recovery ahead. But as we start looking at Harvey through the climate change lens, how do we dissect this storm? For example, what can we credibly say about the warmer ocean temperatures we're observing and Harvey's intensity as a storm?
Well, I find myself going back to basics. You know, we've known for a long time that climate change is warming the globe's oceans. Now, the Western Gulf, where Harvey developed, has warmed maybe a degree centigrade, a couple degrees Fahrenheit in the last 100 years. That's directly attributable to climate change, and the warmer oceans help provide richer jet fuel for hurricanes to develop. Now, in addition, the waters were about a degree above average Celsius. So not only was it do we have to say that the degree Celsius from climate change, but a degree Celsius from just short-term variability. So as with always with these things, part of it is natural and part of it is related to climate change.
Well, that leads in great to this question. Climate scientist Kevin Trenberth quoted this week in The Atlantic as saying the human contribution can be up to 30% or so for the total rainfall coming out of the storm. How do we begin to attribute the rainfall enhancement component of a storm to climate change?
Well, the warmer the oceans, the more water vapor will evaporate from those oceans into the air. So you're putting literally more moisture in the air to be concentrated in the form of a tropical cyclone. Now, that rain gets squeezed out, and it's a kind of nonlinear process. You warm things up a little bit, and the moisture goes up more exponentially. So it doesn't take a lot of warming to put quite a bit more water in the air. And plus, when that water condenses, the energy added to the storm increases rather dramatically as things warm up. So that's the idea behind a little bit of climate change leading to a fairly large increase in precipitation.
And we know these prolific rainfall totals, 50 inches in some places, are possible because Harvey stalled. It just sat in one place for several days. The steering currents were weak here. Some climate scientists have tied weaker steering currents aloft to changes in the Arctic. What's the connection there?
Well, this is an area of very interesting and I think still kind of embryonic research. There's a lot of folks looking at it from different vantage points. The idea is that the jet stream may be getting into patterns, kinks, stuck patterns where things are basically not changing for days or weeks. And we certainly have had a stuck pattern in the U.S. the last few days. Now, whether we can attribute those to climate change is, I think, still a matter of some research. It hasn't been definitively shown, but there have been papers alluding to some changes. Just one this year by Michael Mann looking at summertime stuck patterns. So I think this is definitely a stay tuned area. You can get stuck patterns without climate change. And certainly that was a huge factor in why this hurricane dumped so much rain.
Okay, big picture here, as I look through the longer lens, we saw Katrina and what that did to New Orleans. We saw Sandy devastate the Jersey Shore and parts of New York City. Now Harvey, Houston to Port Arthur. It seems like parts of our major American cities have literally been attacked and taken out by just three massive storms in the past 12 years. And the recovery is long on this. Is this what the future of climate change looks like as we go forward, Bob?
Oh, unfortunately, I am worried that this is the future of climate change coupled with development. You know, our cities are simply getting bigger. And I think Houston is a poster child for that. It has developed wildly. I went to college in Houston. It's probably added 1 or 2 million people to the metro since I was there. And the reservoirs in particular that were designed to protect central Houston from floods, about half of the watershed behind those reservoirs that used to be rural land is now developed. So we are really altering the hydrology of our biggest cities. We're making it harder for people to get out if they need to get out. And all those things just compound the actual meteorology, which includes a lot of natural variability and the goosing effects of climate change, which makes it rain a little bit harder in many cases when it is raining. So it's kind of an unholy mix, and we really, really need to come to terms with it.
Bob Henson with Weather Underground, excellent insight. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Great to be here.
Tom, here's my take on the bigger climate picture with hurricanes like Harvey, and Bob alluded to this a little bit. Mm-hmm. These climate change enhanced storms like Katrina, Sandy, now Harvey, are simply overwhelming infrastructure that was designed and built under previous climate assumptions. And so the impacts from storms like Harvey can last decades. Census data shows that there are still 50,000 fewer people in New Orleans now than before Hurricane Katrina. One estimate puts the number of people in New Jersey still displaced from Superstorm Sandy at over 30,000. There are likely tens of thousands of homes in Houston and Southeast Texas that will need to be rebuilt. And as many as 85% of the homes in Houston have no flood insurance. So that's likely a major economic loss for tens of thousands of Houston homeowners.
As we go forward here, what other impacts do you think need watching, Paul?
One thing is what we might call economic infrastructure. Houston to Port Arthur, that's America's biggest center of oil and gas. Harvey just flooded and shut down the biggest oil refinery in the U.S., and that produces 20%, over 20% of all U.S. capacity. Gasoline futures rose 21 cents just today. They're already up 25% this week. So we may not yet fully know the economic shockwaves from this major hurricane strike in the Gulf's biggest oil and gas hub, Tom. And Houston, it accounted for about 3% of the nation's GDP in 2015.
Wow. What about all of that water and then the things that get mixed in with it? What is the impact of that?
Yeah, environmentally, it's something that we have to watch very closely. Southeast Texas, a major petrochemical production zone. These plants are not designed to cope with several feet of water, and there are going to be environmental consequences here that are still evolving over the next several weeks.
Is it possible at this point to actually project an overall cost for Hurricane Harvey?
I'm seeing some early estimates that put the cost at well over $100 billion. If that happens, it would make Harvey the costliest hurricane in U.S. history. Katrina was $100 billion, Sandy $75 billion. Tom, we've kind of been conditioned to think about climate change as a slow process, and in many ways it is. But every so often, a climate change-enhanced superstorm like this comes along and creates what I call a climate shockwave. We'll be feeling and measuring the effects of Harvey for a long time to come.
And then you've got your eyes on the Atlantic for Irma.
Irma already, Tom, a Category 2 storm. It's likely to become a major hurricane in the next few days. Now, the European model is the most trusted weather prediction model on the planet. The latest European model just in the past hour or so suggests the odds of a U.S. landfall for Irma are growing significantly in about 10 days. It could still recurve out to sea, Tom, but Irma may become a factor as we head into late next week and the following weekend.
All right. Meteorologist Paul Hutton, you'll keep your eye on that for us. Another ClimateCast. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Tom.